The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. The Gospel of the Lord. The tremendous loss of blood through Jesus' 5 wounds, the 195 plus scourge marks, the crown of thorns, the exposure to air, the tremendous amount of work just to breathe, would have produced an extreme physical thirst. But Jesus, who had suffered so much up to this point without a cry, finally enunciated a need. It was a strange need. He who had formed the waters on the second day of creation, who had gone without water for 40 days and nights in the desert, who had changed 180 gallons of water into wine in Cana, who had said to the woman at the well that he would give her a spring of living water welling up within her to eternal life, now said, "I thirst." Earlier, he had rejected the anesthetic sedative of wine mixed with myrrh. Now he asked for drink. And they used a hyssop branch to present him a sponge soaked with sour wine. The Blessed Virgin Mary, John, and Mary Magdalene had nothing to give. The soldiers were the only ones who could. They had some coarse wine, some vinegar, which they put on a hyssop branch and lifted to Jesus. Why did he ask now? St. John tells us, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." He accepted it to fulfill the prophecy. He would reward this last act of charity. No one who did such a thing would lose his reward, he had promised. This was a continuation of Psalm 22, which Father Villa just read. "My mouth is dried like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaw. You lay me in the dust of death." Hyssop was the same branch that dipped in the blood of the Paschal Lamb, sprinkled the lintels and the posts of the Jews in Egypt. Moses had instructed in Exodus 12, "Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the 2 doorposts with the blood which is in the basin." It was the blood of the Passover lamb that saved the people of God. It was the blood of Jesus that would save the world from sin. That very mention of the word hyssop would be enough to connect Jesus to the Passover lamb. But there was another psalm that prophesied this thirst even more deeply, and Jesus wanted to fulfill that psalm as well. That was Psalm 69. It begins, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I'm sinking in deep mire where there's no foothold. I've come into deep waters. The flood sweeps over me. I'm weary with crying. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Many are those who would destroy me. My enemies accuse me falsely." His throat is parched. But just like Psalm 22, what starts off as a plaintive cry becomes a great confession of faith in God through the dark night of the darkness that had come over the land. Jesus would show the brilliance of the light of the world shining in the middle of darkness. Psalm finishes. Draw near to me, redeem me, set me free. You know the insults I received, my shame and dishonor. My foes were all known to you. Insults have broken my heart so that I'm in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none. For comforters, I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst, they gave me dinner to drink. And then he goes on. Let your salvation, O God, protect me. I'll praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. Let the oppressed see it and be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive, for the Lord hears the needy and doesn't despise his own that are in bonds. To the cry, I am thirsty, God would respond. To the darkness, God would ignite with light. I cannot honestly tell from the gospel account whether the vinegar was offered as a comfort or to aggravate Jesus' pain. Psalm 69 implies the latter. But this psalm, like Psalm 22, finishes with praise and trust to the Lord. Because as we see at the end of both of these psalms, Jesus' fundamental thirst was for his Father and for his Father's will to be done. Dives, the rich man in the parable with Lazarus in Luke 16, thirsted in hell and begged Abraham to send the poor man Lazarus to dip his finger in water to bring him at least some comfort. Jesus was now, in a sense, sharing in the thirst of the damned before they were damned. Just like he was sharing in that sense of alienation in order to be able to show faith in the midst of alienation. But Jesus' thirst was also a deep thirst for soul. Just like he had said to the Samaritan woman, give me to drink. So he says to all of us, I thirst. He wants to exchange with us living water. He wants us to respond to his physical need so that he can quench our much deeper spiritual need. His desire is to quench our thirst with himself, who is the living water. Like someone who truly loves another, his desire is just that the other allow him to love in this way. St. Jose Maria Escrivá said in a homily, Jesus hungers, he thirsts for souls. On the cross he cried out, Sitio, I thirst. He thirsts for us. He thirsts for our love. He thirsts for our soul. He thirsts for all the souls we ought to be bringing to him along the way of the cross, which is the way to immortality and heavenly glory. In two places in the gospel, Jesus describes what the living water is. That as he thirsts from the cross, he wants to pour out. One place he identifies the living water as the presence of the Holy Spirit. In another he identifies it with his own presence through the Eucharist. But we know from theology that whenever one of the divine persons is present in a soul, the other two persons in the one God are likewise present. And the two references together show us how that living water that the Lord himself wants to inundate quenches our deepest thirst. St. John's Gospel in chapter 6, Jesus prophesied how the bread that he would give would far surpass the manna of the desert given to the Jews. Jesus stated, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Those who gnaw on my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. The indwelling of the Blessed Trinity occurs through the sacraments. When people who are thirsty come to Jesus, who fills our hearts with this living water. This reality begins with the living and the life-giving waters of baptism. But it continues in every sacramental encounter, especially in the Eucharist, when we receive the source of life-giving water within our bodies and souls. In the next chapter, St. John, Jesus continues the lesson about how he wants to hydrate us. Jesus said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. For Scripture says, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." St. John commented, Jesus said this about the Spirit which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, for Jesus had not yet been glorified. This presence of the Holy Spirit within us is what St. Paul describes in his letter to the Romans. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given us. Jesus wishes to give himself and to send his Holy Spirit. And not just ourselves, but all those for whom he was dying. That's what Jesus was thirsting for in life. And this is why he says it in his dramatic exclamation point on the cross. Jesus thirsting to give us himself, so that the rivers of living water may overflow us, to quench his thirst in a divine spiral meant to lead us all the way home. The Missionaries of Charity, founded by Blessed Mother Teresa, in every chapel throughout the world, put these words of Jesus next to the crucifix behind the altar in their chapels. The mission of the Sisters of Blessed Mother Teresa is to quench the infinite thirst of Jesus for souls, his insatiable desire for love, for us to enter into a full communion, not a superficial one, but to pour out all his love into us and have us receive that and be enlarged. Question for us to ask is, what do we give to Jesus' thirst for us? Do we give him what he desires? Our love, ourselves, all we are and have? Do we allow him to love us as he knows we most need? Or do we respond to his, "I'm thirsty," with vinegar and gall? Pope Benedict, in his beautiful meditation on Holy Week, volume 2 of Jesus of Nazareth, said, at the beginning of the crucifixion, Jesus was offered the customary anesthetizing drink to deaden his unbearable pain. He declined to drink it. He wanted to endure his suffering consciously, not drunk. At the climax of the Passion, under the burning midday sun, stretched out on the cross, however, then Jesus calls out, "I thirst." The scene can hardly fail to remind us of the song of the vineyard in the 5th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. Here God brings his lament before Israel. He had planted a vineyard on a fruitful height and had taken every possible care for it. He looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. The vineyard of Israel fails to yield for God the noble fruit of justice, which is grounded in love. It yields the sour grapes of man, who is concerned only for himself. It yields vinegar instead of wine. God's lament, which we hear in the song of the prophet, is brought to fulfillment as the vinegar is proffered to the thirsting Savior. Just as Isaiah's song portrays God's suffering over his people in a way that far transcends the historical moment, so too the scene at the cross far transcends the hour of Jesus' death. It's not only Israel, but the church. It is we ourselves who repeatedly respond to God's bountiful love with vinegar, with a sour heart that's unable to perceive God's love. I thirst, Pope Benedict concludes. This cry of Jesus is addressed to every single one of us. How do we respond? St. Augustine, in his explanation of this fifth word from the cross, says that it shows not only the desire that Christ had for drink, but still more the desire with which he was inflamed that even his enemies should believe in him and be saved. Christ thirsted for the glory of God and the salvation of men and women. And we ought to thirst for that same glory, for Christ's honor, for our salvation, and the salvation of all our brethren. How often Jesus prayed Psalm 42. Doubtless it was on his mind on the cross as he got ready to exclaim this word. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? Jesus, in moments, was about to behold that face anew. He thirsted for us to behold that face too. Jesus, in speaking of charity in the gospel, gave it under the figure of a cup of water given to someone in his name. For truly I tell you, he said, amen, amen, I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose his reward. Today Jesus asks us not for a cup of cold water. He asks us for ourselves to quench his infinite thirst of love for us to be saved, for us to enter his kingdom now and forever. And Jesus wants us to share that thirst. And a real Christian does. Jesus said that we would be judged on whether or not we give to him when he's thirsty. Thirsty in disguise. And the way we quench his thirst is by first allowing us to give him to give us his living water, to lead us beside the restful waters, to make our cup overflow, so that with his living water on the inside, we can richly quench a thirsting world. But let's begin today on this Good Friday by quenching Jesus' thirst for us, by giving him our bodies, our souls, our minds, our strength, and allowing him to percolate up within us with his living water to save the world. Today, throughout the English-speaking Christian world, we sing, I think, the most beautiful song ever written in the English language, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, where the whole realm of nature mine, we sing there, would be an offering far too small. For love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. From the cross, Jesus holds out his chalice, and he wants us to place ourselves there to quench his thirst for us.